Welcome everybody to Lessons from the Resilience Whisperer, our hospitality version, Behind the Smiles. 17%. I just want us to stop there and focus on the number 17%. Because what we know in the hospitality industry, in 2017, of the 3,128 deaths by suicide in Australia, it is estimated from industry sources that about 563 of these deaths were from the hospitality industry. That's 17%. And to me, that's a big number. So that gets me thinking why that happens. So I've been asking about why this is such a big number and what we can do about it. So I thought what we'd do is start a series of podcasts with people in the industry to get us talking about industry experiences and, more importantly, some of the strategies that we can adopt. With me, I've got John Hall.
Morning, Dennis.
Morning, John.
How are you?
Very well indeed.
Good.
Now, John is a co-owner of a restaurant called Licorice in Adelaide, but he's probably more well-known to people around Australia as one of the first winners of a reality competition called?
My Restaurant Rules.
Restaurant Rules.
Back in 2005, Justin and I won the nationwide comp. Yeah, so we've had restaurants since, really. I've come from 20 plus years experience in hospitality as a chef. So, been in and around restaurants, hotels, kitchens mainly, pretty much my whole life.
Are you a chef?
I'm a chef. Yep. Chef by trade. Yeah. Did a 4-year apprenticeship here in Adelaide.
Yep.
And that's all I've ever done.
Traveled around the world, I know.
Yeah. Traveled around the world cooking. So, yeah, a fairly broad background of different styles of establishments from hotels, large hotels, small hotels, restaurants, the whole sort of gamut of hospitality.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, when I first approached you about this issue, about the rates of suicide and I guess the characteristic of the industry, I was just amazed by some of the things you told me in terms of the nature of the industry.
Yeah. I think that, the industry itself doesn't really turn anyone away. You know, it sort of takes in anyone, and a lot of the times it's people that have not been successful elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I think maybe, and also, it has the artistic type of person as well, which can tend to be sort of outsiders a little bit and misunderstood.
Loners,
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those industries that it really will give anyone a chance. So so that brings all different walks of life into the industry, I suppose.
Yeah. Even last week, I showed you an article from WorkCare in Victoria where they talked about the rates of harassment, the rates of bullying, the claims. Mm. I mean, it seems to be one of those industries that just, to me as an outsider, look, I go to restaurants a lot, but it really surprised me because what you see up front, of course, front of office, you see all these people smiling and in a happy mood. But I think when you scratch the surface, it seems to be one of those industries that you don't have to scratch the surface too much to understand some of the issues.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of things going on in that. It could be different levels of stress, but I think from what I've seen, particularly in a kitchen, is I don't know any other sort of industry where the scrutiny is so high. So, but before it gets to that point, you've got people that are working long hours.
Yeah.
The pay's not great. But it's antisocial, and on top of that, their nutrition is poor, their sleep is poor, and then what you get is, a small thing like someone complaining.
Yeah.
It's enough to make the brew boil over. It's a high pressure, high stakes sort of game, and a lot of people don't really realise that. There's not really any other places where you're under such scrutiny from people as well, where people tend to take, when they go out, very seriously. I mean, you could drop $50 buying a T-shirt or a pair of shoes, but if you drop $50 buying a steak
that I don't like.
Yeah, there seems to be some, it's almost like the people take it personally, that you've wronged them personally, that if you haven't got it quite right to their liking. And then on top of that, the person in the kitchen who may have made the mistake, has someone breathing down their neck, who has margins, who has, you know, who is under the same sort of pressure, but maybe even more, you know. So I just think it's a really high pressure business. And it's all of those things, like the lack of sleep, the lack of nutrition, it confounds it all.
Yeah. Scrutiny from, certainly, is it a competitive place? Do you compare yourself
with? Oh, it's completely, yeah.
I mean, social media must have bloody really stuffed, or maybe not stuffed, but certainly created the tension in this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, people only post the good times on their social media, so there's that pressure, I suppose, that, you know, you're not up to what the restaurant down the road is producing. Certainly, yeah. I mean, I know that, like, you know, if you are someone who's cooking or going high end, wants and is well trained and wants to do something very well in the industry, there's also that pressure of, like, you're never really rewarded for it. You work very, very hard for not, you don't get much back. And then something like social media or a bad review, it's enough to just, you know, break your heart. Mm. It's enough to break you.
Because, the websites like TripAdvisor, and I'm sure that's only one of them, so there's an example. I'm not picking on that one in particular.
Yeah.
They actually encourage some level of comparison, don't they? They actually encourage me to, if I stay in a hotel, I'll get a thing from TripAdvisor that says, rate this hotel.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I'm the type of person who'd probably not do either of them, but you get on, you see some good reviews, and by gee, people take the opportunity to do negative reviews.
Oh, absolutely. And usually they're faceless as well.
And they're faceless.
Yeah. So they tend to sort of, you know, get the claws out when they don't have to be accountable for it. I think it's always been the way in hospitality. You know, you've always had reviewers that come and give you a score, score out of 10 or a score out of 20.
Yeah.
But it's just that now anyone and everyone can throw their two bucks worth in, and it really is enough to say you're a restaurant in a small town it is enough to really sway where people will go. And when you're not, you know, when you need bums on seats, it can be enough to steer them into a different place and, you know, you...
There's your business.
There's your business gone, yeah. So, and it's, I think it's a big part of it.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, it's one of those industries, when you look at it, when you listen to a bloke like you talk, you think to yourself, why would anyone work in the industry?
Well, I was thinking that this morning, thinking about us having this conversation, and I'm like, how would you sell this to someone, you know, work long hours, bad pay,
be abused.
Be abused and
smile all the way through it.
Yeah, and then, you know, then you're supposed to make people enjoy themselves at the same time. It's really, but then again, like we said before, it doesn't turn anyone away. So I think what you're getting through the door is people that it's kind of a last resort for them. And maybe people that aren't really in a sound state of mind to be in that environment.
To take some of the arrows.
Yeah.
Look, in these series, I just want to dig a little bit deeper, because it seems to me there are a number of issues, right? And it's not just mental well-being of people. It's the HR practices, the human resource practices. It's the bloody... It's the operational control that happens in a kitchen, because I mean, imagine a kitchen can be a high pressure environment, you know, absolutely, where you don't actually have the time to check on each other's feelings and all that type of stuff. There's, I mean, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had any leadership training?
Well, not formally.
Not formally, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not really. I mean, you know, I mean, I've been out of the scolding part of it for a long time, but you taught the hierarchical system.
Yeah,
it's almost military in a way, but not really. You just have to learn on your feet, you know, and you learn under fire. There's not really been any sort of training in that sense, no.
And you wonder whether that military style now works for a different generation of employers?
I don't think it does. I mean, for different reasons. I mean, you might have someone who's extremely sensitive.
Yeah.
Or you might have someone that says, well, stuff you, you know, I'm not going to be told what to do by you, you know, that sort of thing. I think you need structure, you need leadership, and you need to know what your jobs are. But I think it's important for the person in charge to really also nurture that person as a person, because they, like I said before, they're coming from backgrounds where perhaps Their parenting hasn't been great, or they've had no real leadership in the past anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
No
that's
education. True.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't an advertisement for licorice, but, I mean, there is something about the culture you've created here. So, you know, there must be something you do, and I'm sure many other successful restaurants do, to get the right type of people here, to retain the right people,
yeah.
You know, to create a culture where people are actually feel valued, you know. So there must be tricks in the game, you know, in terms of attracting the right type of people, training the right type of people. Is there any training done for people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's training. You know, there's avenues, you know, certificates and things like that you can get. But I think, you know, for us here, we're in the trenches with them as well. So I think that makes a difference. And also, you know, it costs you a lot of money to run a business like this. So you need to put your trust in people and make sure they get it right. But, you know, I've lost my temper as well in high pressured situations in over the years. I'm getting better, but it is a hard industry. It really is. Like the pressure is high. So as far as training goes, I mean, there is and there isn't. Yeah. You know, just thinking about it out loud. I mean, anyone can walk in off the street and apply for a waiting job.
Yeah.
You know, which is usually how they come about.
Yeah.
And then you know, there's not really any. You prefer them to have skills, but really you just take them on because you need them, And then the ones, it really is like the ones that can handle it, stay.
they rise to the top of the cream, rise to the top.
Exactly, But you need a level of common sense as well. But
there must be a big churn factor. There must be a bloody big churn factor in the industry, you know. So, see, what I'm reading a lot about this stuff. I mean, my daughter's in the brewing industry, as you know, and some of the things she's told me that's really surprised me, especially the craft brewing, about how male-dominated it is. And, and you look back and you think to yourself, it is a cultural thing, isn't it? And I'm sure it's just not. Like I said before, it's leadership, it's recruitment, it's recruitment practices. We had that case in Melbourne the other week of that George underpay, and I'm sure that was just a cock up as opposed to conspiracy. But it is about operational command. It is about also looking after yourself. People have to take some responsibility for looking after yourself. I mean, yes, you said the hours before are harsh. There is alcohol. Probably don't sleep very well. So it seems to me that people who are going to survive in this game are the ones who. They've got really strong self-care strategies as well as good employment strategies, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want people in the game who just can't look after themselves who don't have good good self-help. I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's two. They're the two types of people in the industry, though. Like I said before, it's people who are coming into the industry as a last resort. So they haven't really developed skills, life skills.
Yeah.
And I think that probably makes up the majority of the industry, and then you have those ones, like you said before, that rise to the top, are more career orientated, they're more driven, they have better life skills, and they can make something really quite something out of it, you know. But I don't think that's the majority.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean,
well, clearly not when you look at the statistics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. I'm not sure what the answer is, because there's increasing costs. You know, people are working longer and longer hours. I really don't know what the answer is. I can't see a future of, you know, employing more people and getting to work less hours. No. I just can't see that.
Not this type of business. Maybe the bigger corporates, but they're all under bloody cost pressures, you'd imagine.
I guess they are. I mean, you know, if you work for big hotel chains and things like that, they've got bigger avenues for money. Even like from a restaurant to a hotel, the hotel has more avenues to increase their revenue.
Yeah.
Whereas we just don't in a small restaurant. So, I just can't see that you can get over the fact that you need to work more hours. To be successful.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people will say, you know, to me, you're still working in the kitchen. It's like, yeah, I'm still working 80 hours a week. Like, it's and I don't see any other way. I mean, we've had people come and go, which ease that pressure. Then they go. They either go and open their own place, or they leave the industry altogether. You know, when a chef leaves, and I think to myself, oh, who can I call on? You know, mates and past people, buyers that have worked for me or I've worked with, and they're less and less. They've left the industry because it's just gets too hard for them. You know, there's no real retirement plan, so they get out. Yeah.
So. Do you have many old people in the industry?
Old apart from me.
Yeah.
Nah, well, I'm sure there is, but it's a young person's game,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I really think it is, because you just can't maintain that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Anyway, mate, thank you for participating in these series, willing to participate in these series of podcasts. We want to dig a bit deeper. We want to be able to give people some real skills to allow them to manage their life and almost to keep it in balance, because those numbers are a disgrace to the industry, yeah, really, aren't they?
It is terrible, yeah.
And if we make a difference to one or two people as a result of these podcasts, we will. So probably the next podcast we might do, mate, will be about, just look at the personal, you know, what are some of the personal strategies people can use to look after themselves in this game, eh? But that'll be for their next podcast. So can I just say thanks for coming? So we'll close this podcast now. Thank you for listening. I guess in terms of me closing off, a couple of simple messages for you. And that is, look, learn to look after yourself, learn to look after your family, your mates and your community, and the world will be a better place.
Absolutely.
Thanks, John.
No worries.